just fine. And we're going to record
the accusations that you were possibly being influenced. Would you like to talk about that first? Because I'll tell you, to summarize what was causing suspicions is things like, you have Carl Schwartz, who a lot of people have looked into his company and come to the conclusion that there's something wrong there. Because, I mean, even I have called that company phone number trying to figure out what the company was, and all you get is his...
Yeah, you're talking about Patmos, right?
Right, the Patmos technology. And, you get an answering machine, it doesn't even tell you that you called Patmos, which... It looks as if Carl Schwartz is really exaggerating or lying.
Hey, man, I'm all for it. I mean, there are a lot of suspicious people in the movement, and I haven't really spoken to Carl. The only reason I met Carl is because I ran into Deb Simon, and the whole reason I met Deb Simon was through Let's Roll. And when I started hanging out on those forums in 2004, I became friendly with Deb just because I was talking to Phil all the time, and Deb was friendly with Phil, so that's how I got to know her. And then... just one day out of the blue, she's like, yeah, so I'm going to be hanging out with Carl Schwartz. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And we went out to dinner to Applebee's, and he talked to me about his A3 research. And granted, the A3 research and the JT8D stuff is kind of fishy. That's why we're leaving it out of a final cut. But, Carl Schwartz, man, he's just an example of a person that I had the chance to run into, and I used his research because I thought it was valid at the time. And, obviously, bringing up the things, like you said, it's a very valid concern because there are a lot of people who can't seem to get any background on Carl Schwartz. And again, I'm totally for it, man.
So in a sense, you were fooled by him the first time then, like a lot of us were. Because you did include his material, now you're taking it out, right?
Well, yeah. Because at the time I thought it was legitimate. It raised good concerns, and I didn't want to put it in the second edition, but we had some internal conflict, and we just put it in.
The first and second is just a little bit different, too. Yeah, like you said, it is a little fishy, and that's why we are.
We're not disagreeing with you, man. We were going to take it out of the second edition, but we left it in at the final,
Floor. Well, that's what I mean. When people look at this, they see Deborah Simon with Phil Jahan and with Carl, and then they think, well, you're promoting Carl.
That's just reading too deep into things, man. It's the fact that I met these people because I was just learning about the 9/11 movement and the people within it. Deb Simon seemed like a nice person. It's because these people all know each other, man. That's the only reason why.
Well, I know that, but that's why people see possible sources of influence. See, these are the lines of influence.
Eric, believe me, man. I get what you're saying, man. But I think people are drawing lines that aren't there.
Yeah,
that's the only encounter. It's not like we've been.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't even seen the guy since that dinner back in 2004.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily be him directly. See, that's what I mean when you look at Carl. He might be he's influencing Deborah. Deborah's influencing Phil, or Phil's influencing you. Because also, Phil trusts Tom Flacco, who also seems to be putting out a lot of bizarre news stories.
Hey, we're all for you on that one, too.
As soon as that Barbara Olson thing hit, obviously anything Tom Flacco said to us, is discredited. You got to be able to prove it. You can't just sit there and say that they have a woman who was supposed to be dead on one of these flights, CNN correspondent.
And here you go, Eric. Here's another very simple explanation for that. This is when I was at a Truth Seekers meeting in D.C. I went down there because I had the day off from work, and I heard it was going on. This was a congressional one that was held... in the, I don't remember the exact name, but it was one of the representatives' houses, and Cynthia McKinney was part of it. And I was talking to Deb, and she's like, oh, well, actually, Tom Flacco's going to be there. So I was like, oh, Tom, I've never met him. I haven't spoken to him before. And we all met up, and actually, Kyle Hentz was there, too. I didn't even think he was going to show up. But basically, after the event, we went out, we had some Mexican food, and Tom's like, hey, do you mind if I sell your video and raise some money? And at the time, I was just getting started. I didn't know who these people were or where they,
Oh, I know what you mean. This is the point. All of us had to go through this in the beginning, where you get contacted by these people and they tell you things. You see, this is what the concern is, that these people are coming to you and giving you ideas, and then we look at your video, and you do have Carl Schwartz on, and see, a lot of us were fooled by him in the beginning. See, and then you have the Tom Flacco, Phil Jahan connection, and Phil also influenced Dave Von Kleist's video.
Yeah, but he also influenced mine, because, I mean, at the time, I thought it was valid evidence, and on the second edition, I left it out for a wide number of reasons.
Yeah, I don't even think it's not valid evidence.
Yeah, we're not saying it's not valid, it's just, I mean, there's...
I mean, the pod issue is just an issue of getting a better quality video.
Yeah, the whole pod / second plane thing, until we get some raw, untouched, uncompromised video and photographs, we're never really going to know stuff at the second plane. And so there's really... no point. I mean,
there's enough evidence other places that we were able to take that out, but I still think it's legit. I mean,
yeah.
The fact is that it's a gray plane and it should have a blue underside. It doesn't.
That's not what we were talking about. See, to summarize it, when someone looks at all these people in this 9/11 movement, you know, we see Carl Schwartz, who's friends with Deborah Simon. We see Phil Jahan, he's friends with Deborah Simon and somehow is connected with Tom Flacco. And then we see them around you, and what it looks like to somebody is there's an influence here. They're influencing you.
Who?
I mean, Eric.
Once in a while. Now, I mean, Phil is so distant.
Phil's off doing his own thing. Man.
Yeah,
I haven't spoken to him. I mean, again,
he's doing a movie called Jaywalking.
Yeah,
he's going around the country. I mean, Phil Jahan has absolutely no influence. If he had any, he would have kept. You know, we would have kept the pot in.
Yeah.
So I mean, he flared off with that.
Yeah, him and Dave both flared off because I told him, well, I mean, the second edition is not going to open with it. And Phil's like, well, how can you betray me like this? And doing his Phil thing.
Right. So, right. Well, I know what you mean. But don't you see from the point of view of a person who knows nothing?
Believe me, man, I realize your point of view, but that's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah,
right.
That's why we're trying to clear this up. That's why I'm telling you these stories. That's why I'm telling you.
Well, I know. That's what the point is. So what you're saying is you're taking the Carl Schwartz stuff out because you're not so sure about him anymore.
I'm not sure about him or his evidence. I mean, it's just, and that for the final cut, we're going to try and, you know, whittle it down to things that are absolutely provable. We need to make it 100% airtight, and we need to make it, you know, we can't have things like that in there.
Now, on top of that, we're not going to be able to include some of the things that you or everybody wants. Because people to continue watching our film. We don't jump out there and talk about all the crazy stuff.
I mean,
want people to sit down and watch our movie, and it's a leap, man. It's a gateway. It's to get these people from knowing nothing to knowing something and then going out and researching the rest of the stuff.
I mean, take my word for it, man. We're well aware of the Illuminati and the New World Order, and we're well aware that there are people who want an all-Jewish state. We're realizing that all these things exist, but that's not what we're about. There's other people like your video and like Alex Jones's video that cover all these things beautifully, and there's no need for us to go out and to cover these same topics.
We'd be exactly like you say, that people just regurgitate information. So, you know, we're going to stick to what we know now and put out an edition that is completely more than the second one is, that is completely our own. It's going to be great, man, and I just hope you can support us.
Well, but don't you see what you're doing is basically is telling Phil and everyone to back off. That's the point, you see?
Yeah, I mean...
But don't you see, that's what we were saying in the first place. It looks like they're all around you, because this is what happened to everyone. And if you now say to them, back off, leave us alone, that is what we want.
It's a growth.
Eric, again,
I don't see New York, man. I mean, we don't see these guys on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. I mean, I don't even know. I've never met Phil Jahan in my life. I think I've had two emails with the guy. I know Dylan's met him a few times. He was out there. He helped him with the first edition. But
Eric, people make mistakes. And yeah. I came into this movement naive. I didn't know who to trust. And now I know. And now I have a better idea.
And who knows who to trust?
I mean, yeah, who knows?
Well, that's right. That's the problem we all are in. Who do we trust?
Eric, I mean, the simple point is, man, if you don't trust us, man, ask us. I mean,
yeah.
It's plain and simple. We're very easy to contact. We're really easy to get along with, man. I mean,
and we'll listen to anybody.
Well, that was our attitude. Is we gotta question everybody, because how do we know anything?
Well, all we're saying, man, is if you're gonna question us, do it privately. Don't do it.
Actually, you can do it publicly, but just
you can do it. Talk to us firsthand, man. That's all we ask.
Hoping Daryl's going to be on, because, I mean, that shit about our ability or what we do, drinking alcohol or whatever in our off time.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
What
we do in our private time, I mean, that's, come on, man, that's like weekly world news kind of shit. I mean, that's like Tom.
We were hoping, I mean, especially when I talk about trusting people, if you're going to have somebody that reports on hearsay and conjecture from, you know, a woman who doesn't even care about the 9/11 movement, who is making a lot of money off of it. I'm not going to say your name, but I mean, if you're gonna go ahead and take word from her and not ask anybody, and then go ahead and report on some personal issues like that. I mean, we're 23. Of course, we drink. I mean, you're not going to stop.
Well, we live
in a college town.
Well, no one's going to complain about that. See, it's just that when you put like the names, if you put people's names on paper and then draw lines of who is, you know, in contact with who and who promotes who.
You're drawing lines without asking.
I'm going to tell you right now, since December, I mean, and we're a self-promoting tour, I mean, we were lucky enough to get on that local Fox News channel. That was all us. We went to a Cindy Sheehan speech event. We noticed the local reporter there. You know, we watched him on while The Simpsons was on. So, you know, I didn't have any fear about going up to him. He came up to us at the same time. That really got the ball rolling. I mean, Jesse from TV News Live has mailed our video out to a lot of people. He got Mike Malloy of Air America talking about which is all positive. And I think it's really more of a grassroots thing. I mean, right now, there's no one with us ever other than the three of us that promotes this thing. We encourage people to copy the thing, put it out.
Oh, I know. But now that you got started, I know. Well, Phil helped you finance it, though, in the beginning, though, didn't he?
No. Eric, here's the simple thing, man. Phil helped me start take pre-orders, and he gave me maybe $500-$600 for the first run of 1,000 DVDs. After that, it was self-sufficient. I had enough money in my account to keep running it. So Phil produced the first 1,000, which got me off the ground.
Which got him a producer credit,
which is why he's not a producer on the second edition, because we have been supported entirely by our fans.
So now you'll be even more independent, really.
That's the whole point. Is we're not trying to be compromised by any certain individual or point of view.
We compromised. We could. We've had.
Oh, offers. Trust me, man,
Eric,
we're turning down offers left and right, man. I mean,
and it's because people aren't genuine. They just want to make a buck.
Well, some people want to make a buck, and some people want to influence you. See, that's the big problem.
Over $1 million. We turned down over $1 million to make sure that this movie is handled in the right way.
Yeah, we don't want it shelved either, Eric, and we don't want someone to have editing control or any kind of.
Well, I know that's what you need.
Well, I mean, that's where we're at right now.
We're doing this all for the right reasons.
And again, you may think that we're being like. Or that certain people are selling our stuff because they don't want to promote other certain ideas, but I mean,
I think
it's a big seller.
It's a big seller, dude. That's all it comes down to. I mean, we get like a 3 to 5% of people who watch it and walk away still not believing the 9/11, that at least there's something fishy with it. I mean, again, this is our experience after releasing it a year ago. I mean, this is just us talking from the people that have contacted us, man. I mean, we're not trying to toot our own horn here. We're saying it's popular because it works.
Oh, I know. Well, what about other issues? You were saying also you don't think that what was it, crypto Jew issue is really for real? Do you think that's a bunch of nonsense?
Eric, if you're gonna say, all right, I'm pretty familiar with John Kerry, who I've heard him call.
Who?
John Kerry. And I'm no fan of John Kerry, by the way.
John Terry?
Big.
Wait a minute. Who's John Terry?
John Kerry, the vice president, presidential.
Oh, John Kerry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I've heard Daryl, you know, I was listening to GCN refer to him as a crypto Jew. I can't prove that. What I can prove, though, is that he's a member of Skull and Bones. He admitted it on Meet the Press with Tim Russert. He's Bush's third cousin on one side, eighth on the other, went to Yale. Those are the types of things that you can prove. He's the one who's heading up this Downing Street investigation that seems to go nowhere. Those are legitimate issues.
Well, do you guys think that maybe the crypto Jew issue is more just nonsense or deception itself?
I think that it discredits a lot of what we're saying. I mean, if you're going to say crypto Jew, you have to have something to back it up. I can say that, you know, he's done a cult ritual. You have to get in Skull and Bones. Like, we got him on tape. And, I mean, not him personally, but we have that one Skull and Bones ritual on tape from above the tomb. And that's legitimate. That's legitimate journalism. If you say, hey, this guy practices the occult. He has you to get into this organization. What else is he capable of? I'm fine. But until you get him with like a Kabbalah or a Torah or a yarmulke or something, I mean, how can you say that? You kind of understand what we're
Well, I guess he got that probably from some reports on the internet. See, there's some reports out there about
Eric. I listened to him.
No, Eric, Kerry is confirmed. He's a member of Skull and Bones.
Oh, exactly. I have the clip of him on MSNBC. He's a member.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. I've seen that one. Yeah. But, I mean, the whole crypto Jew issue is on the internet. Like, some people are saying that's what happened in Armenia. It wasn't really the Turks.
Oh, what, the Turkish genocide you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm not saying that, you know, people who live in Israel and set policy in Israel and, you know, work in the United States and, you know, have dual citizenship or loyalties to money in Israel, I'm not saying that's not possible.
And we're not saying that Israel doesn't spy on Americans.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know how sick I get of getting, like for instance, I opened up a letter today for $17.95 for one of our DVDs, and it basically said, "Send loose change here. P.S. Why didn't any Jews die on 9/11? Garbage!
I know what you mean.
I mean, that's garbage, man, and I think that encourages it. And obviously, like I said, we have the Mossad connection, the dancing Israeli.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, are you guys more in the, like, Wayne Madsen, where you think maybe the Israelis were, like, following the Arabs and didn't...
I think the fact that the Mossad was staying, a block away from some of the hijackers, I mean, I think at the very least... I think Otto might have been Mossad himself.
Well, it doesn't matter. They were keeping tabs on their double.
Yeah, and again, man, we don't know. We're just speculating. I mean, there's no way. There's no way for us to know.
Did the best research on the hijackers out of anybody.
Oh yeah, I mean,
his movie Muhammad Atta and the Venice Flying Circus, where he has the guy's landlord on tape saying that the FBI was paying their rent. That's incredible.
Yeah. So there's no doubt that the Israeli Mossad had some level of knowledge.
Listen, that it's almost like one of the same. Like you said, it's not just about Cheney and Rumsfeld and all these guys, but by piercing them, maybe we can get to the bottom of it.
Exactly. We're not doing
the criminal network that you talk about.
We're not saying
it
that Bush and Cheney. Just because we come out and point the finger at the U.S. government solely is because those are the people we can bring into court, man. We can't go to a judge and say we want to bring the Zionists into court or we want to bring the criminal network into court. You get laughed at, man. You have to name names. You have to name Dick Cheney. You have to name Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz. You have to bring specific people into court and then work your way up from there. And that is the only way we're actually going to get behind this.
Oh, and what do you think about the reports of something like the dancing Israelis? What do you think their role would be?
Talking about it.
I mean, we think it's totally legitimate. I mean, Fox News reported on it. They detained the guys. They brought the bombs.
Do you see it as being significant to 9/11, though, or the...
I mean, absolutely, because, I mean, there's obviously a connection. They were filming themselves in front of the burning towers, and then allegedly that same white van is caught later that night underneath the George Washington Bridge, and explosive dogs flip out because they find traces of explosives. They don't actually find explosives, but they find traces.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's a bunch of things that are definitely suspicious.
OKC bombing, where they detained all those Iraqi Republican Guard members right after.
Exactly.
And then the counterterrorism task force is told to let them go, you know? I mean, I can't say that the Iraqis pulled off Oklahoma City. I don't believe that, but at the same time, at some level, Republican Guard. Al Husseini is a name that comes to mind. I mean, he was identified out there. He's working at the Boston airport where a couple of the flights are hijacked on 9/11. You know, there's an Iraqi Republican Guard connection, and I'm not out there saying the Iraq, you know, it's public knowledge the Iraqis had nothing to do with 9/11.
Yeah. Well,
And like you said, it's intertwining intelligence organizations.
What about them? Well, if the Israelis were in it, if the dancing Israelis were in it, wouldn't that be something you'd want to be looking into?
Well, I mean, again, it's just one of those things.
It's one of those things
that
you can't prove.
General Ahmed Mumad got cut, you know, and that's legit. A lot of stuff got cut. John O'Neill got cut. It's not because we didn't want to put everything in the movie. It's because we put everything.
Oh, I know you can't put everything in there. I didn't even go into those things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's partly because you...
But out of all the evidence, it's not the most compelling.
Yeah, the controlled demolition is the bottom line.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, five dancing Israelis in front of the World Trade Center burning. I mean, yeah, that's obviously something significant, but I mean...
It doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, it's obviously something that needs to be investigated, but... We had our chance to investigate them, and they were detained for a week, and then they were sent back to Israel without any questions asked. I mean, the cops pulled them over, and they're like, we're Israelis. We're not your problem. The Palestinians are your problem. I mean, yeah, obviously, that's a serious issue. But, I mean, it's the kind of thing where if you're showing this information to someone for the first time, it can get misinterpreted in a whole bunch of ways. And believe me, I've seen this firsthand. When you start to bring up the Jewish involvement...
Oh, I know. I know what you mean. I don't have it in my video either, or my book.
Like, when you even begin to say the word Jew, a lot of people immediately start to switch off.
You can't say international banker without being called.
Exactly. I mean, like, we get emails from people who are like, oh, so 9/11 didn't happen? Are you telling me the Holocaust didn't happen?
Yeah.
I mean, they immediately lump those two subjects together, and we're just trying to make it as hard as possible for people to draw that link, I guess.
Well, I know what you mean. I left it out of mind, too. I didn't really get into it. You had to start with something simpler.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
our whole point, man, is we're trying to keep things as easy.
That's why we don't use our face. We just use pictures and words and numbers and letters and let people just seriously break down the easiest level to see this stuff.
Well, I did the same thing. You start off simple, but then on the website, you can. That's when Daryl was going beyond that, because, and that's when you realize there's more than Bush and Cheney. Have you guys even seen things like the Benjamin Friedman speech? Do you think any of that is valid or important to these sort of issues?
You're gonna have to refresh our memory on that.
Benjamin Friedman, he's not alive anymore. He's someone, he gave a speech in the 60s about...
I'm just saying, refresh our memory.
Tell us what he did, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, he gave a speech to some group in Washington, D.C. about the subject of World War One and the manipulation that was going on. He used to be a Zionist. He said, that's what the story is, he's an ex-Zionist.
Uh-huh.
You haven't heard that speech?
No, I haven't heard.
Oh,
I guess I'll check him out.
Well, the Friedman thing's Burma's.
Yeah, I mean,
the first time I've heard of it.
I haven't heard anything about that. I mean, one of the things for me is that looking back at the World War One era, a lot of the guys that were ruling or the ruling elite, I guess, in government and politics, seemed to be part of the Masonic Order. I know that in the vaccines, they were working together, and a lot of them were funded by the same people, We're very aware that, the Rothschilds funded Hitler and things like that, and the Bush family's connection to Nazis and how they came up financially through them. I mean, again, we're well aware of that.
Well, that's what Daryl has been moving on to, these sort of issues of how it's all so much bigger than just Bush and Cheney.
Take it a little bigger, Eric. I mean, we're putting that Nazi connection in there, because, I mean, again, that's really where the Bush family fortunes come from.
We're just trying to tread lightly, man.
Oh, I know what you mean. On the video, you can't do everything. We're not complaining about that.
Yeah.
You want us to talk about it on our website?
No. You see, the original problem, I guess, is, if you want to call it a problem, is that, we look, like I said, if you look at the names, you put Carl Schwartz down, Tom Flacco,
right,
Phil
Jahan.
See, this is what the original suspicion was like. Look at them all.
So what else do you want to know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only tell you the same story so many times.
No, I'm just saying that was one of the things that we...
All right, so case closed.
Right. And then...
Again, there's nothing to hide concerning them. I met them. They were nice people at the time. Tom Flacco, he said, can I sell your DVD? I said, sure. Because I only had, one other person selling it at that time, and that was Jesse. And, I mean, at that time, man, I was a kid. I was just getting started. Like I said, I was naive, and I'll admit it at the time.
I mean, a lot of Tom Flacco stuff was great research up until a year ago.
Yeah, and then he did that.
I love some of Tom Flacco stuff. And then it just started getting wilder and wilder, and indictments here, and, Fitzgerald and secret courts there, and Olson. And, now you can't take it with a grain of salt, but there was a time when he was doing some legitimate reporting.
Well, right, so that means, I know, you guys, you've learned to back away from those guys and keep them...
As soon as someone starts putting information out that they can't back up, you've got to take a step back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we have. I mean, at the same time, we can't say, hey, don't sell our DVD, because even if people are going to go to his crappy website and order our DVD, maybe they can get a little truth from that.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. I'm not saying that, but then you got to see the other things. There's other suspicious things. There's like KPFK. The woman down there, she once used my book and video as a promotion on there, and then she wanted to do it again, and they said no. But they will allow her to promote Loose Change. And see, it's when you look at these things.
We've been doing very well with Loose Change anymore. I mean, when KPFK started, and that's not, I don't believe, from KPFK. That's just from the market out there. I mean, the base has turned to other things. 9/11 has gone and passed through L.A. I mean, I see it reviving. But for right now, I mean, we're not, KPFK isn't selling 9/11 movies nearly as much as they are other things.
No, what I'm saying is that she was told she couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
She couldn't. She was not allowed to sell mine. She had, but she was allowed to mention yours and see.
These things are out of control.
But what I'm saying, don't you see, from the point of view of anybody, not just me, the point of view of an ordinary citizen, they're going to think, why are they censoring this video but not this one?
I don't think a lot of people are. I mean,
Look at some of the other videos they're selling. I mean, the last time I checked was their fund drive, probably 6 months ago when they were doing it.
Yeah.
When we were first, it was December or something like that.
Eric, I can tell you exactly why they stopped selling your stuff, because they told us it was because you started bringing up the Holocaust stuff.
Well, then that means they're censoring something because they don't like some other opinion.
They didn't want to be associated with someone who's going to come out and deny the Holocaust. That is why.
Well, that's what they're saying, but that means then they are deciding that they don't want this video out because they don't like some other discussion I brought up.
Well, yeah, again.
But you see, from the don't you see from the point of view of an ordinary citizen, some of them may say, "Well, so what? What are you to? You know, if it was just you and other people weren't, but it's like all over the place doing this." This is where people start wondering why. Why do they? Because if they only censor me.
Stations, man.
Yeah, we're not involved in this. I'm telling you what I know, man. This is what I heard from the people at KPFK when I went there. They explained to me what had happened with you and why they couldn't sell your video anymore. That's it.
I know.
Apart from that, I don't know. I don't know about anybody else that was selling your video. All I know is they came to us, said, can we use your video? And we said, sure.
Yeah, and see, since you guys have a different opinion, yeah, then they'll promote you. And I see, but you see, from the point of view of anybody, they'll think, well, of course they're going to promote Loose Change because you guys don't know about Benjamin Friedman. You don't know much about the Holocaust or World War II. Don't you see, they may be picking your video because you don't know about these things.
Well, I mean, Eric, it's like, all right, you know, I can't say what exactly happened in the Holocaust. I believe that, you know, millions of people were killed regardless of whether they were, you know, Jews, gypsies, the unemployed, you know, mentally handicapped. I mean, Hitler was rounding up whoever he wanted, basically. You know,
right.
Whoever would proselytize for him. And, you know, I know that. I know about the backdoor financing. I know that Pearl Harbor was set up. I mean, they shut down the submarine's radar. I mean, they had half the fleet out of there. They had the code cracked. We're well aware of all that stuff. But again, we're just trying. I mean, from other people's perspective, it's hard for older people to even look at us when we talk and think that we have anything worthwhile to say because we're in our 20s. You know how many? You know, I mean, I went down to Ground Zero last year, and I offered many a person a free DVD or just talking about the truth. And you know, I get the response, you know, what are you going to teach me, young fella?
I know what you're saying.
I mean, seriously, and I mean, it's not that we're naive about these type of issues, it's that we're just trying to stay focused.
We're trying to keep it as simple as possible.
Until the broader issues can be brought
up. But I'm not criticizing you. See, what I'm saying is, from the point of view of the media.
We get it. I mean, we get it that they're going to suppress that stuff. There's a ton of stuff that needs to get out. I do feel bad that there's, I mean, I don't like it when people attack you about the moon landing. I mean, I've done a bunch of research on that, too, and I really don't think that the videos that they're showing us are real. You know, I contend that we may have been to the moon, not with rocket technology, but, you know, with something else. And it's secret, but definitely not the Apollo way.
Eric,
they're a joke.
Eric,
but at the same time, by coming out and saying that, Eric, you leave yourself wide open. You know that, right? I mean, you do. And it's not because you don't make a legitimate point on the moon landing. There's tons of legitimate points.
It just polarizes people,
man. Yeah, it just polarizes people.
And, I mean, look, man, if you have any questions about the people that are selling your video, ask them.
Yeah.
Apart from us.
No, it's not criticism of you.
Eric, it is, man, because when people look for our names and they find that article and says investigate the truth seekers, it plants a seed like we're dishonest.
Like we
deserve to be investigated.
The 99% of the movement being garbage, I mean, I just can't agree.
Yeah,
with
I don't
you.
Think.
I would hope it's only about 20-25.
Granted, there's a lot of garbage in the movement, man, but I mean, we're having this conversation to tell you we're not part of it, man.
And we're trying to just, you know, unify people. We need the unification. I mean, again, if 99% of the movement is garbage and we've got 1% of what we got right now, we got no fighting chance.
That's when you look at the history of America, that is what it looks like. I mean, nothing's ever happened.
Well, the American Revolution was less than 10% of the population. I think if we can get 20, we can win.
Oh, yeah, you don't even need 20, but I mean, you don't need that many people, but.
Again, man,
we're just a large section of this population.
We're doing what we know in our hearts how to do. I mean, and I made the video I wanted to make because...
It's not a criticism of your video. It's like when I say to you, their media like KPFK is selecting your video over mine. It has nothing to do with criticism of you. It's a point that they are censoring information because, like you said, they don't want to bring up the Holocaust and they don't want to bring up Apollo.
It's not an issue you should be having with us, man. That's my point.
No, don't you see the point of view from the point of view of the common citizen?
People who are green to this information don't know any background. It's the same thing where I came into this movement and I didn't know who any of these people were. I didn't know who Tom Flacco was. I didn't know who Carl Schwartz were. They were names. When people see my movie, they don't know anything about me. They don't know anything about the other people in the movement. They see a video with some information in it. Some people who do know about this kind of stuff, about the Benjamin Friedman speech, yeah, they're going to get a little suspicious and wonder why we don't talk about it.
No, it's not you. It's not you. Don't you see? It's why did they pick your video? Well, because, see, don't you see, KPFK
Eric, we're going in circles here, buddy. All right, they picked our video because it's effective, and they know they can make money off it. Plain and simple.
It's capitalism.
But you just said that's not because of the money. It's you. I mean, they told me, they told you, it's not because of money. It's because of the side issues, the Holocaust, the Apollo.
KPFK stopped selling your video because of the Holocaust.
Anything else?
I don't know about. I know for a fact that because of the things you said, they did not want to be associated with you anymore.
That's right. It's the things that I've said. But see, that's what I mean. It has nothing to do with video or money.
Eric, again, we're going in circles.
It does mean the bottom line because they know they can make money off of our video. Our video is radio friendly. I mean, they play it on the radio. It's got a decent soundtrack, and they know they can make dollars.
And again, man,
it's their number one seller.
We're going in circles here.
I mean, they see green. They say, honestly, from what I've seen on the other drives, they sell less than 100 of the other videos they offer, from Scott Ritter's stuff to JFK2, which I think is great.
Oh, I know yours is popular.
Yeah, ours is popular. So to them, I really believe it's pure capitalism. And you're right, it doesn't step on a lot of the toes that some of the other ones do.
But again, this is not an issue you should have with us.
Yeah, it's with the media. We don't control the media.
Yeah, we.
But it's not about you. I'm just telling you, this is why Daryl, me, and a lot of people are wondering, you know, why the censorship out there? And this is a sign. Why would the media care? You know, this is more evidence that they are trying to suppress certain information, which is a sign they are part of this network. Don't you see?
I'm curious, man. What do you think is the information they're trying to suppress so much?
Well, like you just said, they don't want discussions about Friedman or the Holocaust or Apollo. And why would they care?
Because we're talking about 9/11, Eric.
And that's why, I mean, listen, I understand the media wants to suppress a lot of stuff. It's not just, I mean, we could bring up another 20 things that I think are important, like the Franklin cover-up, the fact no one in the Iraq-Contra affair got arrested.
Oh, there's a bunch of it. You're right.
Yeah, there's just so much.
But Eric, it isn't covered.
But don't you see that as a sign that the media is in this?
No, we're pissed. I mean, the media is in this. We're pissed about it, but if we can go to the average Joe at one of these stations, which is what we do, we contact somebody that works in there, lower level, or they order the DVD, and somehow they can sneak in a story about it.
I know, you're doing good when you do that.
I mean, that's where we're starting, you know what I mean?
I know, you're doing a lot to get the information. I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying, don't you see this as a sign that the media is in this criminal network, and they're promoting your video over mine because of these side issues.
Yeah, off the hook, man.
We denounce the main. I mean, even the alternative media sucks, man.
Oh, I know. And that's what it's turning out to be. Also, if you look at this alternative media, you have to wonder about them.
But I want to ask you, man. I mean, I've read the Wing TV stuff, and I really can't fucking stand Wing TV. I think they're just ridiculous sometimes. But I've read the Wing TV stuff about what Daryl Bradford Smith had to say about Alex Jones. And, I mean, Dylan's met Alex. I've been, you know, onto his information for about 3 or 4 years now. Checked out a lot of his stuff. It seems legitimate. I mean, is it true that he said that Alex has Zionist handlers? I mean, is that true, or is that just garbage?
I can't remember if he said that. He might have made a remark that he thinks he might, but see, what he's doing is what I was just saying.
It's going out and saying things like that, man.
Alex Jones, the man is 32 years old and he looks like he's 50.
He's obviously
working his ass off.
No, he's not complaining about whether he works or not. He's looking at what he is saying and what he's not saying. Another one who won't talk about.
Eric, again, you're getting upset
because
getting upset because people aren't talking about Zionism. That's it. I mean, that's all it comes down to. And the fact is, people don't want to hear that shit. All right?
It's not that it's not legitimate. I just have not seen enough information to say that this Zionist cabal that everybody's talking about is responsible for this stuff. To me, it seems like it's greedy, power-hungry occultists that are Luciferian. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a religious guy or one way or the other, but I do believe a lot of these guys believe in do as thou wilt. I mean, I think it's the bottom line.
Well, that could be it. That could be.
I mean, I think that's their philosophy.
Yeah, and I think that the idea that Alex Jones is being handled by the Zionists, I mean, man, he's a married man. I mean, he does his radio show, he finishes at 5 o'clock, he goes home, and he goes to sleep with his wife. I mean, he's a human being just like you and me. He doesn't have any Zionist handlers. I mean,
Daryl was saying, he didn't say he does, he's saying, he's just looking at, you know, he won't touch these issues.
I think the exact quote was, Alex's handlers are the Jews. I think that was the exact...
Oh, that's what Wing TV, I think, quoted him, but...
I'm asking.
Okay, well, that's what we want to know.
Well, that was in some private conversation, so I don't know. How does anyone remember that? It wasn't recorded. But, you see, he's looking at what the... he's looking at what is said and not said, and the way Alex will steer people away from certain issues. Okay. That's why he's assuming.
Again, it's because it's just certain people don't want to cover that stuff, man. It's plain and simple.
No, I don't know. What do you think Alex steers away from? I'm curious. I mean, I listen to his show a lot. I've seen all of his films. I'm wondering. I watch his weekly TV show online. So.
Well, like when he brings up the X-raying of the Jewish children. Do you remember that story?
Which one was that? I'm sorry?
I can't remember, hundreds of thousands maybe of Jewish children given X-rays in their head about in the 50s. I think it was the 50s. Do you remember that story? He brings that up once in a while.
I'm not quite sure. He talks about MKUltra every once in a while. I've read some of the raw documents.
Well, anyway, when he brings that up, though, he keeps bringing up the fact that he says, but the USA is, like, financing this. I mean, the USA, who in the USA, he's like shifting the blame. The Israelis are radiating these Sephardic children, Sephardic.
So he also says the real power base is out in Europe. And I tend to agree, because they're the ones that seem to own the Federal Reserve banking system, the WTO, the IMF, all these big, political banking.
European systems. Union also. But who are they? Who are they, though? Like the banking system. You see, that's when people are suspecting, well, maybe that... European? Are they European or are they Zionists?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree, but I really think that it gives credence to his argument that it's more globalization, Eric. I mean, the unification of Europe, that's the Fourth Reich, if you will, that was Hitler's dream, and it seems to have happened. I mean, they got a unified currency now. It looks like, that CAFTA passed this year in this country, correct? The American Free Trade Agreement?
Yeah.
I mean, and they want to break down the borders between, us, Canada, and Mexico and make us a North American super state. And that just says to me, I mean, it doesn't scream Zionism to me, Eric. It screams globalism.
Well, yeah, it's. But then the question is, who are the globalists? That's what no one can figure out.
Again, and Eric, when I talked to you last time, I really feel like, the evidence is there that these guys are into the occult. I mean, take a couple minutes to even go on eBay. If you got a couple bucks, you could probably, every once in a while they have an annal up there. And their own annals they're just so telling. I mean, they give lists of names, they got color pictures in there, what they're doing, who's involved. They're some of the biggest names in politics and business ever. And they're getting together in this two-week encampment, and they're practicing, a lot of these guys are supposed to be our Christian conservatives, and they're anything but.
I know what you mean there.
Well, that's my problem, because I could give a hell whether or not you're whatever religious belief you want. I don't care if you worship some kind of goat or whatever, do it. But don't come to me as the moral authority, as a Christian conservative guy, who has this supposed, again, moral, authority over everybody, and then just be practicing the total opposite.
But see, Daryl will even come down on those people, but he doesn't get in trouble for that. I mean, we can criticize the Christian Zionists or the Christians and the hypocrisy among the Catholic Church and the pedophilia. No one complains. We only get a complaint if we mention the word Jew or Zionist.
There you go, because, again, all the stuff I just said, you just said before that, is all documented. And when you say... First of all, Zionist to me is different than Jew. When you say Jew, I mean, that's...
I think of someone who's Jewish.
Yeah. It's totally polarizing people. And I know that in this movement, we're going to need Jewish people too, man.
But that's right. That's why, I mean, that's what Benjamin Friedman is. He's a Jew. And you got David Cole, who went off... I mean, he's a Jew. He went to Auschwitz and... comes back with a video saying the whole thing's a hoax.
Differences between the Zionists and then the Jews against Zionism. I mean, I've read other information on it. There's just not that many links to proven Zionists. You know what I'm saying?
You just don't see the evidence, you mean?
I just don't see where I can make it solid. You know what I mean? Like, where are the policy papers of people within our government talking about creating, an all-Jewish nation? You need something like that. But what I do have... is I do have those scumbag neocons and their PNAC document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, which just outlines the whole deal.
Right.
So I can pin that on them, and then I can go a step farther and say, some of these neocons that are in this organization attend the Bohemian Grove, and they do this. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, what about the rabbis against Zionism? There's one that just came out that's saying, these people are burning the Israeli flag on demonstrations all the time, and...
Again, I read the article, I saw the pictures, I checked it out. I don't disagree with you that there is a Zionist movement, but I can't pinpoint who they are, what they are, and how much influence they truly have. Obviously, you know, Israel is a very powerful military nation, especially to be in the location they are, correct?
Right.
I mean, they're right in the Middle East, and they're able to survive around basic enemies everywhere. I mean, you can go into, you know, the whole way Israel was founded after World War II, and, you know, taking the Palestinians' land, and, you know...
Well, their enemies are kind of primitive, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, you know, the nation's there now.
Right. Oh, I know what you mean. I'm just saying that a lot of our information... See, I mean, I had no idea what Zionism is. It's coming a lot of the time from, like, rabbis against Zionism and people like Friedman. We don't know. How do I know what a Zionist is? It's actually a lot of this information comes from Jews. This is why it makes it seem so real. It's coming from them.
I hear you, Eric. But again, I mean, I got to see something more than you know, just testimony. I mean, you know, eyewitness testimony, insiders. That's great, but you got to give me some documentation. You got to get it on film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need something hard. It's kind of like when David Icke comes across with about 90% of his stuff being legit, and then he wants to go into a wonder world about lizard people. And I don't care how many goddamn eyewitnesses you have about lizard people and, you know, different dimensions and transmutated whatever. You need some hard evidence to be saying that stuff.
Right, I know what you're saying there.
Yeah, because that totally discredits a lot of the things that he says. People go and say, you know, they see something like that, and they're like, you know, they hear that he said, you know, something about the World Trade Center, and then he's also the lizard person guy. So, you know, as soon as I start talking about the World Trade Center, someone asks me if I believe in lizard people.
So you think most of the anti-Zionist stuff that's coming out is really unsupported?
Yeah, I do. And it's not that I'm totally anti-Zionist. I don't think there should be a Jewish state for Jews. I don't think there should be a Christian state for Christians. You know,
the Zionists really aren't complaining that there's a state. It's just that they're using other people to get it.
Well, no, that's what I mean. They're trying to...
They're using Europe and America is what they're...
No one else will be able to come in, correct? I mean, that's the goal.
Well, the rabbis and others, some of these people aren't complaining about that so much. They're just complaining they don't want to be pawns in the game as they create Israel. They don't want to be the sacrifice. You know, they're being sacrificed in some cases, is what they're complaining about.
Doing that, I mean, you got, like I said, people like Wolfowitz who have dual citizenship, you know, that are doing stuff behind the scenes all the time. But until we can bring that to the forefront, Eric, I mean...
So what is your sort of plan for, I mean, if you could get more publicity, what do you see as a plan? What would you recommend to people out there as a way to...
What I'm doing right now, Eric, is I'm organizing the biggest protest down at Ground Zero for September 11th of this year, Monday. It's Monday, 2006. Down in New York City, we were there last year. This year, we've got a few hundred people already. We're trying to get into the few thousand. And, I mean, this is going to be the mainstream media event of the year.
And then what would you say is for people, I mean, about, like, your goal? What would you say to them to strive for?
We got to start out small, Eric, and this is my goal, to get a few thousand people down there because, like I said, the major media everywhere is going to be there. And if they want to cover the memorial, they're going to have to cover us because there'll be just so many of us in numbers.
Right.
A 9/11 shirt. And that's the first step. Because if we don't do it this year, the mainstream media is going to continue to ignore it and be able to. And it's only going to be, unfortunately, that this information gets out to the public through the mainstream media somehow. And I know that's going to be tough.
Well, what is your message? I mean, what message when you get down there, what are you going to be saying?
An investigation. We want you to take a look and realize that the 9/11 Commission thing is not gospel. And then we're calling on people, if this thing is successful, and we're praying it is, that a year later, if nothing else is done, we're just going to go out to the White House and wait there until something's done. Because in Ukraine in 2004, when they had an election and they clearly elected the wrong people, the person, and the people knew it, that they had been cheated, you know, 30,000 of them waited outside the government building until something was done. And then the guy got overturned, they put in the right guy, and then he was poisoned. And I mean, I don't know anything about either candidate, you know what I mean?
Right, I know.
But I do know that the people got upset enough to do something about it.
I mean, what do you see about the media? Why the media doesn't cover this?
They're owned by the same people that run our government, man. You know that. I mean, the media corporations own the lobbyists who pay these guys a salary. I mean, Dick Cheney just got a $1.4 million tax return. The guy's salary is like $250,000 a year. Obviously, his money is not made from the government. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that's throughout, on every level. The people that are in Congress and the Senate, they depend on the same lobbyists that own the media, and they shut up.
Well, who do you think owns the media, though? You don't see that as being part of the Zionist group?
Big issue, obviously. I mean...
Well, I mean, to you, that's not...
I know Prince Philip owns a lot of the media over in Europe, and I know they love to spin it that the royal family are a bunch of morons, and they don't do anything real, and all this other stuff. But in the backdrop, they own a lot of companies. They influence a lot of the media. They write a lot of their own stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's a place to start.
So, Prince, what about in America, though? The American media, who do you see?
Man, I think generally the Americans are really controlled by the old European money. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's all linked up.
You mean the European, the monarchies and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, have you read Springmeier's 13 Bloodlines?
I don't think so.
You should check. I mean, I've only read like 5 or 6 chapters. I've read them through Family Line chapters online or whatever. But, I mean, I don't take everything he says for gospel. I don't take anything anybody says for gospel. You got to take everything with a grain of salt in this freaking world. And, I mean, when you look at all the evidence and just him naming off names of these family lines that have been around for hundreds of years and what organizations they're in, and it's all like, you know, 33rd Degree Mason, Knight Templar, you know, Knights of the Secret Circle, and then they're, you know, their kids in the CFR when it's founded, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's those kind of things and connections that really seem to be, you know, the power structure in this country and the world.
So then you would not say the media is really part of a Zionist gang. You'd say it's more of a European monarchy type thing?
Yeah, I would say, I wouldn't even call them a European monarchy. I would just call them, a royal elite.
But it's more coming out of Europe than America is what you say.
Yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the 9/11 attack itself, you would give them the same European group, or is that more America like Bush and Cheney?
I can only bring so many people into court. I think, again, you start with Cheney, Wolfowitz, and Rumsfeld, because Cheney signed that memo, and those are the Secretary of Defense and Assistant Secretary of Defense, and at the very least, they'd have to know after the fact, you know? And at the very least, with all this evidence, they'd have to know after the fact. I'd have to say before. And from there, we just got to work our way out. Because, I mean, they're saying officially that this attack cost less than $500,000 to run. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's kind of an out for them. Because you don't need big money, and it can't be followed back there. But, until we bring this stuff to court and, you know, a good number of the population realizes how corrupt our governments can be, we're not going to be able to really trace that money.
Yeah. What about things like the missing trillions at the Pentagon with Dov Zakheim? Do you think
before the attacks, I think it came out. What was it, 1 trillion or three?
Dov? 2 point something.
Yeah, 2 point something. There you go.
2.3. Yeah, 2.3 trillion dollars.
Yeah, and again, and it just brushes away.
But that's one of the other suspicions that, I mean, reasons people think there's something funny here, because he's a rabbi. And then you got all these dual Israeli citizens, like you said, Wolfowitz, there's Chertoff. But you see that still, what, are they underneath this European group, or what?
So, I mean, you know, the Europeans, like I said, have been in power for so long, they've branched out here. I mean, you go into the Russell Trust and the opium trade, and, you know, how the Rothschilds built up their banking systems. You ever seen Money Masters?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an excellent documentary. It just goes through all the European money that has basically seeped into this country. I mean, I think there's a huge criminal network here that we have a big problem with. Obviously, I mean, we pretty much got caught running, you know, coke and everything else out of Panama in the 80s, and nothing was done about it, you know?
Oh, I know. That's what they never do anything about any corruption.
Yeah. So these guys in America are still able to become billionaires, but they're not the, you know, multi-trillionaires that are in other countries basically with a free license to print money.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, again, their power can only go so far.
Right. So you see it more of a European-type thing then.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look how bizarre some of these rituals are, Eric, and where these things come from, that Helmut Schmidt, for instance, you know, former German chancellor, talks about how all these things that he used to do and all these Germanic death cults, and he talks about, you know, Bohemian Grove being a sect of them and loving the rituals there. It's suspicious to me, man. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, or, I mean, I can see that with my own eyes.
What about things like what Kay Griggs says? She mentions Bohemian Grove a little bit.
I haven't seen the whole 7-hour interview. I actually only saw the clips that you had up on your website.
The little excerpts.
Yeah, yeah. I probably watched them about a year ago. you know, I think a lot of what Katie has to say is really legitimate. From what I understand, though, she names a lot of names. And it's not that I'm against her naming names. It's that, you know, it's great that she's naming names. Now we need some backup info. And I'm not saying, you know, she should hold back or shut her mouth. But maybe put in there, you know, I can't prove it beyond the point of me saying this, but this is what my husband told me. You know, things like that. You know what I mean, Eric?
Right.
And, again, I don't disagree. I mean, you look at things like the Montauk Project and Boys Town, and they definitely use, you know, drug addicts, you know, sexual deviants. You know, they definitely, it's mind control.
Right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's absolute mind control.
What do you think about all these other people that Daryl has criticized, like Jeff Rentz and the Rentz.com site? Do you have any opinions about any of them?
Well, you know, again, Rentz puts up a wide variety of stuff, you know, that's not just 9/11 related or even, you know.
Well, do you see them as, do you have any opinions on them, or do you really not know that much about them?
No one does. You know, Jeff Rentz has had Dylan on once, I think. I think he does sell our DVD, correct?
No, he doesn't sell anything.
I mean, I don't know. I've been to Rentz's website. I know that he republishes a lot of decent articles.
I mean, we can't make judgments about a guy. We don't even know.
I mean, again, I take everything with a
grain of salt. No, I was just wondering if you had any opinion.
Okay, we take everything with a grain of salt, especially somebody that's got Bigfoot UFO stuff on their website.
Right, but you do trust Alex Jones then?
I do trust Alex.
I really think
that Alex is in this for the good deal. I mean, if he's not, he's doing a real good job of fooling people. I mean, he went right up to Michael Moore. Not that it took balls, but it took persistence, you know? I mean, he got to go and get these
people. He barely even ran into him.
He's out there just asking questions. And, you know, I mean, it's not like I think it's everything that Alex does is perfect. I mean, it sucks that, you know.
Nobody's perfect, man.
Yeah, when he got on CNN and he mentioned the New World Order, it's not that I don't think the New World Order is real or that it's legitimate. It's like, oh, man, you just turned away 20,000 people.
What about that thing that really got Wing TV mad at me, the Michael's murder? And it got mad at Dylan, too.
We were kind of shocked about that, too. I mean, do you really think that the scholars
I don't think the scholars would.
Well, you don't think that was a suspicious murder or ought to be investigated?
It's a suspicious murder, but I think the idea that the scholars were actually behind it is kind of ridiculous.
I mean, again, we don't know.
Well, no one is saying it is or isn't. It's just wanted to see. It's like, you know, when you look at the connections again, you got all these connections, and it makes you wonder.
All right, well, who do you think? I mean, let's ask you. I mean, who do you think would have been the most likely responsible for shooting this kid in the head twice?
I don't know. I'm just saying, if you look, it just seems odd. No one seems to care in the so-called 9/11 movement, and the kid has got this close connections to the Professor Wood. I mean, it does. Don't you think that's a little?
He called in. Actually, Dylan called in the day that whole thing breaking over to Alex, and he had Webster Tarpley on, and they discussed it for a while. And you know, Tarpley said that it did look like a hit. He said they weren't releasing the videotape that they had of it. I think they've charged two people, right?
Oh yeah, I think they have by now. But
yeah, they charged a couple people with it. They discussed it, but again, until it's kind of like with the Richard Reed shoe bomber thing. We got limited resources.
Oh, I know. I'm not expecting you to investigate. I'm just saying.
I just don't think.
I was just wondering if you thought that this was another mistake on the part of us.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that it's all great asking questions, but, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's zero possibility that someone within the 9/11 truth movement, you know, has guy whacked. Who knows? You know, could be an infiltrator, but I mean, to put that out there that, you know, for some reason, like, it kind of looks like discredits all the scholars for 9/11 truth. And, I mean, I don't buy everything they got on there. I mean, I've been over to Jack White's analysis, and although I think he does some very good stuff, I think a lot of it's questionable. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that it's turning away a broader audience. I mean, right now, Dylan's over on Wing TV's thing, and they got another hit on Jack Blood right now. And, I mean, Jack seems like, you know, just another legit guy.
Jack is a good man.
He's just trying to do what he can do.
Jack's got a wife.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, the thing is, he hasn't even wanted to put up a store or sell shit for the longest time. I mean, he's like, because I don't want people to think that I'm in it for the money. You know, I don't want to have a store. I don't want to have a Jack Blood, you know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just ridiculous, man. I mean,
it's just so many angles
people,
that you get criticized.
People spend too much time attacking the messenger, not the message. I mean,
there's a lot of articles out there that
someone turns out to be a Zionist, you know, an insider, a member of the criminal network. then fine. I mean, we obviously won't work with them anymore, and we'll be a lot wiser. But until then, attacking people that we don't even know, man. I mean, this is why we're still fighting for the truth. Because everybody in the movement, I mean, people like Mike Rivero, who spend their whole time calling, you know, people like us who say a 757 didn't hit. I mean, he spends his whole time calling us disinformation.
Well, what do you think about that? See, that's another thing that's a little suspicious, don't you think?
And hey, I'm all for it, man. I think the fact that, I mean, he's so adamant about calling us disinfo and us, you know, part of the problem.
I don't mind Mike Rivero too much. I mean, don't take the bad thing to him. But
I don't care really, but with
the plane thing, because, you know, there's the photograph of the supposed landing gear inside. I think that's the most...
I think polarizing the entire movement and making enemies with them just because
of one issue.
Just because of one issue.
And
I think
a lot of people can look at the Pentagon immediately and say, hey, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. I don't know. I don't understand why he's doing it either.
It's like all these, you know, all these arguments only exist on the internet, it seems. But, I mean, that's our point, is that people like Mike Rivera, who spend their whole time attacking people, you have to wonder about their motives. But, again, I mean, we have better things to do with our time than worry about Mike Rivera and what he says on his website. I mean,
I know what you're saying. But, see, then you'll also see the same thing going on with Von Kleist and Joyce Riley. I mean, you got that Peter Kawaja creating a website about Gulf War veterans, and then a little while later, Joyce Riley does it, and then there's accusations that she's trying to actually distract people from what really happened in the Gulf War. Have you seen that one?
Is Joyce Dave's?
His wife?
What? I'm sorry. That's someone beeping, and it's going to beep again. But yeah, I didn't know anything about that.
Well, see, that was just, when you look at that one, see, there's accusations that she's actually trying to distract people, because maybe what the Gulf War illness is uranium, and she's trying to say, oh, no, don't worry, it's just anthrax or vaccines.
Well, isn't it pretty much DU? I mean,
well, that's what some people are thinking now, but see, what I mean is, if you look on the internet, you'll see these accusations are going everywhere for everybody, practically.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the internet. People are going to argue.
Yeah.
And I mean, I personally, I just don't care, man. People are going to fight, and people are going to call each other names, but I mean...
Well, that's why we're trying to get this part out, because you see...
Like, I mean, because this is obviously serious, because, I mean, it's, like we say, I mean, it's one of the top 10 hits when people search our name. But, I mean, now...
I want to know who's promoting that.
Yeah, I mean, we want to know who's promoting that, exactly. But, I mean, who knows, man? I mean, we're calling you because we're trying to tell you, I mean, we're in this for the right reasons, and we're not being handled, we're not being manipulated. And believe me, if we are, we'll find out, and we'll take care of it.
Well, no, it looks like you've already done it. See, you've already found out, because you're saying you're already backing away from Schwartz and Phil. That's already a sign you are realizing it, see? That is good.
I wouldn't say we're even backing away from Phil. I think Phil's just got his own opinions.
Phil's got his own opinions. He's very, very, very,
yeah,
very,
you know,
opinionated about him. And,
yeah.
I mean, we simply...
I don't think anyone's controlling Phil Jahan. I think he's just an emotional guy.
Phil is a very emotional guy.
Well, he might be, but, you see, he gives Deborah Simon credit for helping him find that pod. Maybe that was her idea. She gives it to him.
Dude, that's ridiculous. We all know. I mean, I got into this way before anything.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Phil did not discover anything.
That was on the Webberry site for the longest time, and that's what I started looking for.
The only thing Phil did is he took his inheritance and threw it on a website dedicated to it, and therefore made himself the person that discovered it. I mean, the information was out. It's just he happened to make a website solely dedicated to it.
And if he had the Webberry's help.
And he had the Webberry's help, and now if you even try to tell him that, he just flipped out.
Well, he says Deborah Simon helped him find it. She took him to Ground Zero and looked at the photographs with him. He gives the credit to her, not Web Fairy.
Well, no. He says he found the missile. He says that Deb found the pod or the bomb on the wing. Which, I mean, I saw the photograph. And
I don't know
if
that's a bomb on the wing.
No, there's no bomb on the. I mean, dude, it's just Phil, man. It's Phil looking at what he's. It's Phil looking at videos and seeing what he sees, and you can't make him think anything else. I've tried talking to him about that laser footage. I'm like, Phil, it's a piece of goddamn paper. I've got the raw footage from Camera Planet. I'm telling you, it's a piece of paper. He's like, no, it's a laser, and I can prove it. And I'm. It's,
well, okay, well, so you're not, well, at least you're aware of what's going on, I guess, so.
Eric, man, I am very aware of what's going on, man. I mean, I pay a lot of attention to this movement. I mean,
you
know.
We realize how serious this is.
We realize how serious this is. We realize who these people are. We realize who we're dealing with, and we also realize that this movement is obviously compromised in one way or another. And, I mean...
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. Who is the compromised part, don't you see?
I think the thing is that, all right... We know there are people compromised. What we need to do is just bring in more average people.
And again, I mean, that's what we're trying to do with Crowd Zero. I mean, for instance, Mike Rupert did some of the best early work on 9/11. I mean, he pointed out the finance and stuff. His Truth and Lies presentation was excellent. Crossing the Rubicon was the first one to really talk about the war games, other than Alex Jones. Alex actually did talk about him a little bit before Rupert, but he fleshed him out a little more. But at the same time, Rupert can't get down with controlled demolition, the most obvious crime of the whole thing. So I can't get down with Mike Rupert. I mean, when we go on tour and people, you know, suggest, you know, take a look at Rupert's stuff, the first thing I say is, yeah, take a look at it, but the guy won't get down with the controlled demolition, and he's pushing peak oil, which is going to synthetically raise your gas prices. Because we're all going to be starting to hear about peak oil even more and more and more. And I think it's totally garbage.
Oh, I see.
Don't you agree? I mean,
well, I agree with you. I know. There's something fishy about Mike Rupert. But, I mean, you look at all of it. That's when you start wondering, when you start looking at him, Schwartz. You got the accusations against Joyce Riley. That's what I mean. You start wondering, who do we trust?
Well, yeah, again, it is tough. But, you know, that's why we really, in our movie, stick mostly to interviews we can get with people, to mainstream news articles. And like you said, I mean, it was less than a month after we released the second edition where we're sitting there talking to ourselves going, you know, we really should have took that Carl Schwartz stuff out. Yeah, I mean, literally less than a month, we're sitting there going, you know, maybe we should have took that out. And I mean, after it's out, you know how much work it is to produce a DVD.
Well, then, I know. And then you got John Stadtmiller promoting Carl Schwartz also, too. I mean, he must believe it.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't heard anything about that since, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Carl said he was running for president in 2008. And
he dropped out of that, I know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like it was a big mistake at the time, and now, you know, we haven't even heard much about it at all. I mean, we haven't even heard anything from Carl Schwartz at all.
Oh, I know.
Hey, man, we're doing the best we can here.
Oh, I know. Well, it was good. At least we got this out, and we can maybe, who knows, maybe we'll talk some more if you want someday.
All right.
Hey, man, I mean, this is why we're calling you. Cause,
yeah.
I mean, we think that the article, man, I mean, there's one thing to investigate us, and there's one thing to have honest questions about it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it happened. It didn't look good, man.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, we're more than willing to, like, share valid information with you about this stuff. I mean, I just bought the blueprints of the World Trade Center. I don't think anybody's got those yet. And we're going to have them in a couple weeks. So, like I said, you know, we're just trying to get as much valid evidence out there as we can. We're trying to organize so that we can get something done about it. Because only the people are going to do it. It's not going to be our politicians or the media. You know it.
Well, yeah, they're not. They've been hiding it all along.
Exactly. And we're well aware of it. And, you know, right now, we're looking at what three young guys can do to change that situation.
Right.
And I mean, that's basically where we're at. I mean, none of us... I mean, like you said, Corey was used by the military. Poor guy had to serve two stays, one in Afghanistan, one in Iraq. I don't want to see that for my brother, my sister, my kids, anything. But I don't want to see it for me. I don't want to see any of the draft legislation that friggin' Hatch and Ted Kennedy have put up. Even Charlie Rangel's put some in there.
Well, I know. I know. What Corey ought to do is check to see if he's got uranium in him.
Well, I mean, I talked to him about it. I mean, it's not like he's naive. I mean, he knows they use DU. I mean, he knows. I mean, he's healthy now. There's no telling whether he's going to be sick in 2 years. It's not like Corey's the only one I know that's been over there.
Yeah, I mean, again,
well, I know a lot of people don't show any signs of it.
We're very aware of.
Yeah, we're pissed.
Anyway, well, it was nice talking to you guys.
All right.
I'll let you go, and maybe we'll talk again.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.